The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 14 degrees and sunny at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Kathleen Gannon, and here are today's headlines. Daycare workers strike for a salary bump, Quebec launches a youth employment program, and small businesses to lose federal financial support. Daycare workers are starting a two-day strike in Quebec today. Protests are happening in Montreal and Sherbrooke. The groups hope for an increase in salaries and availability in daycares. Véronique Morin joins us live from the Montreal protest. So, Véronique, the march is planned to end in front of the Minister of Family Office. Are you there yet?
Yeah, we just got there. And we took over Ontario's troops from Parc des Bourgs. There's a couple of hundred of protesters in there with all wearing pink shirts. They're really loud, chanting, and we see all the energy and the solidarity in the march. So I talked with Ruth Cabro, who thought it was really important for her as a daycare worker to be there today, so we can hear what she had to say.
We're hoping to get all our conditions that we asked, and that's why we're walking, and we're not letting go our rights.
And so the workers are hoping to see their salary increased. What else are they asking for?
So in fact, Marie Renault, who represents the daycare workers union, just talked about that. So she talked about the lack of availability for kids in kindergarten and daycare, and also talked about the overtime hours that the workers are often doing right now. And for sure they want the increased salaries because they see more and more responsibilities in what they're doing. So I spoke with Kelly Diana Alarcon, who came all the way from Saint-Catherine today because her daycare place is closed for the strike. And as she worked for 6 years as a daycare worker, she really see a decrease in her working conditions. So we can hear what kids say.
We see more children with particular needs and with more needs, and we have more responsibilities. Our small salaries don't represent all the tax that we are doing.
These strikes and protests are planned for tomorrow as well. Where are they going to happen?
Yes, so for tomorrow, they're going in Rwanda for a protest, and in Lévy also. There's going to be strikes in the Abitibi region, the Federal Palace, and around Quebec City. So we can see the movement that really takes all over Quebec, and the union really hopes to be heard by the government so they can start negotiations as soon as possible.
Thank you. That was Véronique Morin reporting live from the protest. The group of shelters for women facing domestic violence has called on municipal candidates to take action. There have been 16 femicides in Quebec alone this year. The group, along with its 43 member houses, are asking politicians what they will do to tackle the escalating crisis. So far, over 60% of Quebec's townships have joined the group's campaign, Allied Municipalities Against Domestic Violence. The framework works to secure and provide resources to shelters and women in need. Nurses without a vaccine will have their license suspended as of Friday, according to the Quebec Health Minister, Christian Dubé. The announcement arises from a lack of healthcare professionals being fully vaccinated in hospitals, showing over 6,000 Quebec nurses who aren't fully inoculated. Curtis Savage spoke with Sherry McLeod, the executive director of the NDG Senior Citizens Council, who's worried about what a nursing shortage could mean for Montrealers.
Health and social service sectors has taken an enormous toll on everyone. On top of that, I think one of the most challenging things is this pushback that many of them are getting now in terms of this emphasis on vaccination from people who are opposed to vaccination.
Do you believe it is important for workers in the healthcare to be vaccinated?
It's important to be consistent, you know, with our message. I at the same time, I am very concerned for the drop in numbers that, you know, will occur when this is carried out, this this deadline passes. So I'm very concerned for the fallout that's going to happen. But I do feel that if we've spent all these months, waiting for a vaccine, and now, most of the population is on board with it, and people who work in this sector are supposed to be proponents of, public health.
Do you think there could be alternate solutions where licenses aren't suspended but still promoting for vaccination among nurses?
Yeah, I find that's very severe. I'm not sure what the steps are. So that's the thing. I'm sure there's a gradation, and I'm not sure, but I think, that's a serious consequence.
For seniors' homes specifically, how will it impact the health workers and nurses at seniors' care?
I think that, there's going to be, I think the next 6 months are going to tell us a lot. It's going to all play out, and if the government holds its ground and all of these things unfold, it's, I think, going to be very difficult.
That was Curtis Savage speaking with Sherry McLeod, the Executive Director of the NDG Senior Citizens Council. A breakthrough at the National Institute for Scientific Research in Quebec finds an early indicator of Alzheimer's disease. Researchers Mohamed Rafat Ben Kader and Mohamed Haddad discovered that the antioxidant imbalance associated with the disease can be seen up to 5 years before the onset of symptoms. Since the disease is often untreatable once symptoms appear, these findings offer promise for the prevention of Alzheimer's altogether. Tonight, mayoral candidates will debate youth issues in Quebec. Schools, mental health, and financial challenges top the list of problems that were amplified throughout the pandemic. Here's Hannah Sabourin with more on the story.
Six groups organized the debate. One of these groups is Force Jeunesse, and Simon Pilon is its president. He believes it is important to highlight youth-specific issues, something he hopes to accomplish through this debate.
We believe it's important to have a forum where young people can ask their questions.
Pilon wants to capture the attention of the future mayor. He also wants Montreal youth to be involved in the candidates' platforms.
We want to show the future, the candidates, and maybe the future mayor or mayoress of Montreal, that we are a group that has specific needs.
Jeanne Chambre de Commerce de Montréal also helped organize this debate. Deborah Charenfant is an executive in this organization. She hopes that the debate will motivate young people to vote.
For years now, we've seen less and less young people going to vote.
Through the debate, Charenfant wants to highlight the specific difficulties that young people faced during the pandemic.
We've been through a pandemic. We've seen more and more how this pandemic has affected women, but more specifically young people, young professionals. And we want to hear from the leaders running for Montreal right now.
Candidates will debate these issues at the University of Montreal tonight. This is Hannah Sabourin with Concordia News, NDG.
Quebec's government is seeking solutions to resolve the job shortage affecting most regions of the province. A new initiative hopes to help and support youth as they enter the job market. Quebec's Minister of Labour, Jean Boulet, provided details about the program at this morning's press conference. Yannick Lepage joins us to discuss the new proposal. So, Yannick, the program targets young individuals who are unemployed and aren't currently studying.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's more than 200,000 people aged 17 to 34 in this situation right now, according to the most recent statistics provided by the Quebec government. That's almost 11% of the population in this age group. Minister Jean Boulet said that it is a priority to see the youth realize their full potential.
Will the program finance initiatives proposed by regional employment organizations?
Yeah, that's essentially it. The government invites these organizations to submit their project proposal and is allowing $47.4 million to support them financially. The priority will be given to projects that are based on the existing employment programs and that are designed to support the youth until they obtain a job that they're able to keep. The government also intends to prioritize a project that seeks to mobilize unemployed young people in new ways while still resolving regional employment issues.
And how do the local youth employment organizations feel about this announcement?
I spoke with Aki Tachikov, Executive Director of Youth Employment Service Montreal, and he seemed satisfied with the proposal. The financial support will help the organization to continue their existing project and maybe submit something new if they, you know, they see some opportunity to expand on what they're already doing. Here's what he had to say.
The news is good. These are the types of projects that we've always advocated for. We need to create more pathways for young people, especially young people who are, you know, on the margins.
And organizations have 2 months to submit their project proposal?
Yes, they have until December 12th to submit their projects. This delay might seem pretty short, but Yes Montreal says that it's sufficient for organizations that have the expertise to put these projects together. The proposal that will be retained will be announced from February 2022 until the end of March.
Thank you, Yannick. Students order food online, shop for clothes online, and now want to go to school online. KPMG surveyed 1,200 post-secondary students, and it's clear students have taken a liking to online learning. After being forced to adapt during the pandemic, 80% of students said they want an educational experience that matches their digital lifestyle, but teachers may not feel the same way. Brianna Sherman has the story.
As fun as it is to stay home and relax, students and teachers alike struggle to adapt to online learning. Paul Gott, a Concordia University professor, feels as though a lack of human connection made teaching hard.
It's not because, you know, you hate computers. It's because you worry about your students.
Gott explained that a decent percentage get lost because they're not physically present in the classroom. Some students rely on student-teacher interaction and even the interaction and support that occurs between students. Some students will succeed in this atmosphere and some will not.
I find it problematic simply that the strong students will remain strong and the weaker students will actually sort of drop off the map as opposed to just getting stronger.
Although students were generally more tech savvy than their professors, some students were learning as well. Lori Newton, the president of the Montreal Teachers Association, explains that some students were more technologically adept than others. In addition to elementary and high school, the MTA deals with vocational training and adult education.
They're continuing to do that and having a lot of success doing that with teens, which is actually a job skill that these students need to develop, obviously, in the current context.
As technology continues to evolve, it might be logical for educational institutions to evolve with it, but nothing can replace being present in a classroom. This is Brianna Sherman for Concordia News.
The search continues for a man believed to have drowned Monday night in Brossard. The man was reportedly searching for a miniature boat along the St. Lawrence River before he waded into the water. The police and Canadian Coast Guard have joined efforts to locate the man. Divers from Quebec's provincial police were deployed this morning to continue searching the waters, though the man is presumed dead. The federal government will be putting an end to its financial support program for small businesses on October 23rd. Business owners are not happy and still need time to recover from the ongoing pandemic. Here's Abigail Jersey with the story.
A petition was launched this morning to extend the federal government financial support for small businesses. The Association Restauration Québec is worried about what will happen if there is no extension.
Many restaurant owners need this emergency financial aid.
Ending the support would create anxiety. With labor shortages and a possible fourth wave, business owners like Terry Taylor were and are struggling with the unknown.
But at the beginning, it was super important because it really did give us breathing room because we just did not know where this was going and we didn't know that it was going to last as long as it's lasted.
The subsidies have helped sustain businesses and an extension would improve the longevity in local economy and community.
Because I think some of the restaurants and things probably do need it extended because it's not enough time to catch up to the sales that were lost.
Small businesses need help as they continue to work in an unpredictable time. The petition asks for an extension for additional government aid into 2022. Abigail Jersey, Concordia News, NDG.
The NHL regular season kicks off tonight. Only one Canadian is left standing at the Indian Wells Masters, and the Alouettes won their first home game of the season last night. Here's Sarah Dixon with all of your sports news.
Goes to the end zone! Touchdown, Montreal! Touchdown, Cameron Armstrong!
The Owls scored with less than 30 seconds left in what was an exciting first home game victory. They defeated the Ottawa Redblacks 20-16, and speaking of exciting football, the NFL's Baltimore Ravens defeated the Indianapolis Colts in overtime last night with a score of 31-25. More news out of the NFL is that the Las Vegas Raiders coach John Gruden resigns. This came after a review showed that he had been using misogynistic and homophobic language for years.
This purple patch continues for Annette Contaveit.
Moving to tennis, both Bianca Andreescu and Denis Shapovalov lost last night in only the third round of the Indian Wells Masters Tournament. Bianca, the tournament's defending champ, admits it wasn't her best match.
Today, I didn't play my best, and I didn't feel my best. I mean, the conditions were a bit tough as well with the wind and with the sun.
Layla Fernandez is now the only Canadian left in the tournament. She plays the unseeded American Shelby Rogers tonight at 3 p.m. Today is also the debut of the NHL regular season, with the Seattle Kraken playing their first ever season opener against Las Vegas Knights. Unfortunately, we will have to wait one more day before we get to see the Canadians in action. But Nick Suzuki seems excited for the start of the season after signing an 8-year, $63 million contract this morning. The Habs will start their season tomorrow night against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Thank you, Sarah. The winners of the 2021 Nobel Prize were announced yesterday, and among them is Canadian economist David Card. Based in California, Card was recognized for his research on how immigration, education, and minimum wage affect the job market. Along with the accolade, Card was awarded over $1 million for his contribution. If you're enjoying these warm weathers, you'll like the next week. Highs will stay in the low 20s right through the weekend. However, it's going to be wet. Rain is supposed to move in for the next couple of days, and right now it looks like a gray and rainy weekend. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Kathleen Gannon.